Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, what's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I have a very special guest today, and a very special reason for my special guest, but also a friend of mine for many, many years, been in the business for over 30 years, and that would be Don Fishback. Don, welcome to the show, and I know you're involved in a number of companies. What company are we using today?
Oh, it's just one company. It has many organizations. Fishback Management and Research. We are known for our odds method of trading, and the Fishback Management and Research is the company.
And that is Don Fishback, but we're here for a very special reason. Not only are we going to talk about trading, but Don has some things that are very near and dear to his heart, and we want to make sure that we reach out to everybody. I know, Don, you're doing something with the American Heart Association, and I think that that's an unbelievable cause. Tell us about what you're doing for the Heart Association and what we can do to help.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, like I said, I have one company, but I have many organizations. But one that is near and dear to my heart is the American Heart Association. And we're trying to do a couple of things. We're trying to raise some money and raise awareness. I have a background, just to give you some background, back in 1996, I was writing, my publisher asked me to put together a little brochure, little pamphlet that we could give out to people about options trading and something for beginners. So I started writing it, and the book it started off as a pamphlet, but it just kept getting longer and longer and longer. And before you knew it, it was 120 pages long. So not much of a pamphlet. This was a full-fledged book. And we were faced with this idea of, well, we could print it. This was back in 96, so there was not much in the terms of electronic books or anything like that. So it's like we were going to have to print it, and we wanted to recoup some money, but we didn't want to make any money. You know, this was just for pure education purposes. And so we decided we would just sell the book and give all the profits to charity, and we chose the American Heart Association. And over the last, it's been 19 years, we've donated over $130,000. We've raised over $130,000 for the American Heart Association from this book alone. It's an e-book, and not just do the profits go to the Heart Association, but all the proceeds go to charity. So I've been very involved. You know, when you start doing something like that, Bubba, you know, it raises the people at the Heart Association. It's like, who is this Fishback character? We need to get this guy involved. And so they asked me to be a volunteer, and the next thing you know, I'm on the board of directors. I've been very active in advocacy, you know, trying to get one of the big advocacy things I deal with is trying to get what they call hands-only CPR training, where you just basically, if you remember the old, remember that old song by the Bee Gees, Staying Alive?
Yep,
I do. Remember that? Okay. Well, if you just put your hand on somebody's chest that's having a heart attack and start thumping on that chest to staying alive, that's hands-only CPR. So that's something that we are trying to get taught in health classes and PE across the nation. I was on the board so long, they actually made me a trustee. One of the unique things, truly amazing things that I've done with the Heart Association is that I served on the National Biotechnology and Bioengineering Peer Review Committee. We reviewed research applications to see which ones were significant enough to get early stage funding. And I can't speak to the details of what we reviewed because of confidentiality, but you would be absolutely amazed at some of the treatments that are coming down the pipeline. I mean, it's just some stuff is just it's truly revolutionary, and it's this is again, this is early stage research, and so I've been involved in all kinds of stuff.
You can tell us. Listen, there's only 250,000 people listening. It's no big deal. You can. It's a secret. We'll keep it quiet. Let us know what the things are. Come on.
Yeah, you know what? That's the one thing they said. You can't talk because, you know, there's some people that get turned down, and we don't want to hurt their feelings and stuff like that. So that's the one thing. That's the one thing that we can't. We can talk about.
You know, come on, a little insider trading. Let's go. Step it up, baby.
I will say one thing that we looked at. It did not get, I don't think it got funded, but the research has continued regardless. Well, they're looking at different ways of modifying the way that people's hearts get what they call the timing with a pacemaker, the way people's hearts get paced. And instead of using electromagnetism, they're using lasers, where you have fiber optic cables going into your chest instead of little wires. And they said that you know, it uses less power and it's less disruptive. So that's one of the things. Can you imagine little fiber optic cables going into your chest and using light?
You know, it's funny. I had a buddy of mine who had a pacemaker, and, you know, every once a month he'd have to call in, and they did everything on over the phone. It was pretty cool. I mean, obviously there have been some great advancements in the Heart Association and things they do. And unfortunately, recently there's been no advancements in the markets. We were talking, when we first started talking, you were telling me this is, how many years has it been we've been in this tight of a range?
All right, so the last 41 days, basically since the Brexit stuff calmed down, we've had 41 trading days where the net change, this was as of last night, the net change was 1.77%. I believe that is the narrowest 41-day change in the history of the S&P, which goes back to 1928. We've had 42 consecutive trading days without a 1% move. That's 2 months. Streaks of that length are extremely rare. Although it's actually it's not as infrequent as it might seem, the summer of 2014, the streak of no 1% days reached 62 trading days. That's almost 3 months. But then you have to go all the way back to 1995. So it's a really quiet market, and it's the narrowest it's ever been, going back for at least for the last two and a half last 2 months. It's the narrowest it's been. And you have to go all the way back to 1928, the state it goes back to.
No, I know. It has been, and obviously for a trader, it's been brutal. For investors, they're happy because there's not a lot of volatility. But we got a lot to talk about. We were with Don Fishback, and he's an old war veteran. He's a guy who goes back to the being on the street and going to before all the internet crap. He was doing these things live and meeting with people. But again, his love is the Heart Association, and you know, make sure you check that out. And this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bob Horwitzer with Don Fishback from Fishback Management and Research. Make sure when you miss an episode, it's libertytalk.fm to get the download of not only the Bubba Show, but the Sporting Edge. We're going to step out of here for a break. We're going to come right back with more from Don Fishback after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Horwitzer. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Don Fishback from Fishback Management and Research. And again, a good friend, but also a very special program that we're talking about, which is the Heart Association. And Don, how did you get involved in the Heart Association? How did you pick that as your charity? Do you have any family background there, or is there a reason, or is it just happen to be the lucky ones who got Fishback in management and research?
I do have some family history. I'm really going to get out there and just let people know a wide array of people know something about me. I was adopted when I was an infant, and that's another story all on its own. But the biological family history doesn't follow me, so there's no medical reason for me to be concerned. I know a lot of people, it's like, oh my gosh, my dad died of a heart attack, my grandfather died of a heart attack, and so they're concerned about it for medical reasons. I don't have that, but I do have some family that people that were near and dear to my heart, and suppose my grandfather died of a heart attack, my dad died of a heart attack, his brother died of a heart attack, and my cousin just, you know, you and I were talking in Chicago last week, and he died later that day from a heart disease. He was waiting on a heart transplant and didn't make it. So, you know, it's one of those things where it just impacts so many people. And it's not just, you know, on my side of on my family, it happens to be all men. But when you look at not just the men impacted, but heart disease and stroke are the number one killers of women. You know, I'm not taking anything away from any women that may have dealt with breast cancer, but breast cancer gets a lot of publicity and rightfully so. But when you look at the actual statistics on where the mortality occurs for women, they're much more likely to suffer from heart disease or stroke than they are from breast cancer. So, you know, it's the number one killer. Cardiovascular disease is the number one killer. Cancer is number two. Stroke is number three. So, you know, we're talking about, and all forms, when we talk about cancer, it's all forms of cancer. So heart disease and stroke are huge impactors of human mortality and their way of life. And so that's one of the things. It's like, you know what, let's hit it where we can make the biggest impact. And so that's why we chose the Heart Association. And, well, you know, the other thing is we checked out, do they spend their money wisely? You know, there's some organizations that for every dollar you give, they end up spending 90 cents on administration and perks to executives and other things, and only 10 cents actually go to what they do. Well, Heart Association is the exact opposite. They are extremely efficient in how they bring in the money and then distribute it to advocacy, education, and research.
Which is really great.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's really great because, again, you know, one of the things, you know, I always worry about when I'm donating is I want to make sure the money's going to the people that need it, not to the pockets. For example, the Clinton charity, I mean, you know, they gave away 10 cents on a dollar. They take 90 cents. Now, to me, that's not a charity, and I don't respect that, and I don't like it. And, I mean, they're not the only ones. There's many out there that actually make a living off the charity instead of doing the work they're supposed to be done. So I can certainly respect and appreciate what you guys do and what you do just on your own, bringing out a good cause and helping traders or investors learning something, and at the same time giving money away to the Heart Association. It's like a win-win for everybody, and hopefully, you know, all that money you're putting away and helping with will save people's lives coming down the future. So I can't imagine anything better than that.
Right, and I appreciate that. And we actually, for anybody that is listening, we actually have a little something that they can take advantage of. It's if they go to our website and If you'll allow me a shameless plug here, if they go to our website, www.donfishback, that's DonFishback.com, they can go there, they can sign up to get some free stuff, but we'll also allow them to make a subscription to one of our products for $4.95. It's a 90% discount, and the $4.95, the entire amount is going to go to the American Heart Association. We've had a lot of success with that. We've raised about $5,000 last month, and we're looking to raise some more money this month. So it's just a great way to get educated and get some good trade ideas, and maybe the money that they spend, that could be the thing that pushes us over the edge to find some kind of breakthrough treatment. Anyway, that's what we do.
That's great.
You know, one thing I did want to mention about the Heart Association that a lot of people probably don't realize is that it used to be that a lot of funding for really early stage research used to be done by the government. Your tax money would come in, and the government, through the National Institutes of Health, would fund early stage research. Well, taxpayers rightly got concerned that a lot of money was getting wasted because they would spend money on unproven technologies. And so Congress and the government basically said, we're going to stop funding a lot of this early stage research, and we are going to instead focus on treatments that have a greater likelihood of success. Well, that left a hole in a lot of this early stage stuff, and includes, for example, the stuff where they're trying to pace a heart with lasers. Well, that's where the American Heart Association has come in and has filled that gap. And so we literally donate billions of dollars each year to this early stage research, which then gets transformed into a later treatments later on. Not all of it works, but a lot of it does. But you just don't know at the early stage. And so that's why I think it's really important, because it's filling a gap that was basically left because taxpayers wanted more bang for their buck. And the charities, you know, that's the way it should work. The charities come in and fill in that void. Let the people, if they want to donate money for early stage research, let them. Let the government focus on something that's a little bit more proven.
I agree. Listen, I'm a big fan of obviously, you know, this type of research. I mean, you know, we obviously, you know, we're living longer, we're having more issues, and of course, if we can make things better for people and catch some of the stuff early, which you know, we've been working on, I think that overall, that's a great plan and a great idea, and certainly great that you are a big part of helping and funding this. And what's the website again that people can go to help contribute as well as get that educational booklet?
Yes, www.donfishback.com. That's DonFishback.com. In fact, Bubba, we've got what we call the Bubba package of gifts. So they'll get a book that talks a little e-booklet that I wrote that talks about a trade, some methodologies that we use. We've got a free app that you can put on your iPhone that deals with another indicator that we look at called the implied borrow rate. And then we've got a really nice chart that shows all the way back to, we were talking about how the market has basically gone into snoozeville. We've got some charts that people can look at that they can download, and, you know, nice pretty color charts that people can get that show the S&P behavior all the way back to 1928. There's not a lot of places that you can get that kind of data. Hold that thought, Don.
Hold that thought. We're going to come back and talk about that. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are with Dan Fishbeck from, Don Fishbeck from Fishbeck Management and Research for the Heart Association. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break.
You're so delicious. You're so.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Don Fishbeck from Fishbeck Management and Research. But again, Don's a friend for years and years and years, been in the business and used to do the road shows, which we'll talk about. But he's here today because we want to talk about the Heart Association and what he's doing for that. Don, you were going through, the Bubba package, and it was so big you couldn't get through it all before the break. So go ahead and continue with where you were.
Yeah, well, we have three things for our listeners today. We have a booklet that describes a trading methodology that we tend to use. It actually is the three keys to beating the market, three proven keys. And the reason, proven. Are you kidding me? Who uses the word proven? The reason we use proven is because all of this stuff has been proven by academic research. So we get in, we have a little booklet on that, and then we have an iPhone and an Android app, and you can actually also work through your browser, so you don't need to download the app, that does these volatility based scans on the market, and it includes an indicator called what we call the implied borrow rate. And so we've got a free app that people can download, and then we have some charts that you're not going to find, I don't think you're going to find anywhere else. There, we were talking about the S&P 500 and how narrow the range has been. Well, we have that kind of chart going back to 1928, and so you'll be able to see is when we talked about the range being 1.77%, is that really narrow compared to all the way back to 1928? Well, you'll be able to see it visually. We talked about how it was 42 straight trading days without a 1% move. Is that unusual or not? You'll be able to see that. All 88 years. 88 years of data on these charts.
88 years? Geez, I have to have a bar mitzvah. So Don, obviously the markets are in a really tight range. And, you being a 30-year veteran of the business, and again, going back in the days, you used to go on the road shows with some of the other options experts throughout the world. And what are some of the key things as an options trader that you see that are important for the average investor to focus on?
That's a great question. I'll tell you what, one thing is for the average investor, is realize where you are in terms of the trading apparatus. You are not a market maker. You don't have an edge where you buy at the bid and sell at the ask. You do the exact opposite. You don't have the commission structure. You don't have the margin structure to day trade. So anybody that's at home that thinks they can day trade options is probably out of their mind or delusional. Hate to say it, folks, but that's just the reality. If you want to day trade options, you need to buy a seat on an exchange and become a member and trade like you are a member of a firm, because that's the only way to day trade options. So with that said, options traders at home need to change their time horizon. There's nothing wrong with weeklies. But if you think you can be buying options in the morning and sell them in the afternoon and do that consistently, that's just a fool's errand. So keeping it simple is also really important, because the more complex you get, the more commissions you make, the margin treatment may be unfriendly. So that keeping things simple is also important. Realizing what you're doing, what an option entails. And I'll give you a perfect example. We like to buy straddles on stocks that are flat. I tend to be a seller of index options. I like to sell SPY options through spreads, but I like to buy straddles on individual equities when they become very flat. And when you do that, you need to understand what the purchase of an option actually entails. And I'll give you a perfect example. I'll buy a straddle on a stock that's, let's say, $50, and the stock is at 50, and I buy the 50 call, 50 put, and the stock goes from 50 up to 60. And now I'm really happy because my calls made money. My puts lost money, but my calls made more money than my put lost. Well, one of the things that I can do, if there's very little volume, if the bid-ask spread is real wide, I can always exercise my way out of it. And I can short the stock and exercise the call, or I can ask my broker to reach out to the market maker and say, let's say the call is worth $10, but the bid is nine, you can put out a bid there of something close to $10, and you might be able to get the entire price, even though there's no volume in the option. So buying options gives you certain rights, and you can use that to your advantage. So just knowing what you're doing, keeping it simple, and getting the right time frame are really important for individual options traders, or any trader that's thinking about getting into the options business. Keep it simple, know what you're doing, and don't try and turn into a market making scalper. You'll never survive. I had a friend that was a market maker for a long time, and whenever he got asked the question, you talked about how I would do these road shows. I would do them with the CB. I was helped, you know, did some training at the CBOE, worked with some of the guys that started the Options Institute there. And we would go into a room of traders, and somebody would ask the market maker, what do you think about day trading options? And he would just stick his hand out, you know, open face, stick his hand out like, you know, and start pointing at his open hand and say, would you just please put your wallet right here? And the guy's like, why? He said, because I'm going to have all your money anyway. We might as well just get it over with right now. So, which is true. You know, the people don't, the market, you can't day trade options and consistently when you're not part of a market-making organization.
I agree. I've explained that many, many times to people that, you know, first of all, day trading is a full-time job. It's not you trade when you want. And number two, you have to have liquidity and be able to overcome the costs, which, especially in the last 42 days of market, you'll never overcome the costs. So that's a problem. But in the meantime, Don, give us that Bubba's special package again so we can let everybody know what we're doing.
Sure. If you go to donfishbeck.com, www.donfishbeck.com, you will see a place where all you have to do is enter your email, and we will send you an email with a link to download the booklet that talks about the three keys to beating the market. There will be a link to iTunes where you can go to download the free app, and then there will be a link to download the 88-year charts, two charts, 88 years long, that show how it actually quantifies and illustrates exactly how compressed this market really is, which is just, it's absolutely insane. I mean, it is insane.
Oh, I mean, we are in insanity, and of course, you know, in my eyes, the market is sending out a direct message that something is going to happen. And of course, you and I both know that we can't tell you exactly when it's going to happen, but the way that you set up your trades is kind of preparing for something to happen. So when it does happen, you're kind of prepared with your longer term strategy, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I'm right now, I'm leaning bullish, but only barely so. I'm really concerned about the potential for higher rates. The LIBOR has gone from about 20 basis points up to about 90 basis points. Meanwhile, the long-term, the U.S. long-term 30-year Treasury, it's stuck around 2.25. And I do not like it that those two rates are converging. That's a negative sign to me. I also don't like it that the sentiment readings are where they are. Newsletter writers, they've gotten awfully bullish according to Investors Intelligence. And again, I look at stuff over a really long term. You know, we were talking about S&P back to 1928. We look at Dow data that goes back to 1901. We've got the newsletter writers from Investors Intelligence. It's the best, most complete sentiment data I know of. It goes all the way back to 1963. So we can see what people were thinking when John Kennedy got shot. We can see what people were thinking when Nixon was in.
Hold that thought, young man. This is Don Fishbeck, Fishbeck Management and Research, very special cause, the Heart Association. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. Make sure you go down there and download it. We're going to step out here for a break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Don Fishbeck, Fishbeck Management and Research. But again, very special cause we're going over today, which is the Heart Association and Don's willingness to create this charitable opportunity for everybody to help the American Heart Association. He's done this for years and donated over $130,000 from just this one product alone. So we want to make sure that we help him out. And Don, so you were telling us about some of the things and how you determine, you know, what's going on and your lean and the whole thing. So go ahead and continue, please, sir.
Sure. Yeah, I look at the market sentiment data. First, I was talking a little bit about the yield curve. That's the comparing LIBOR to the 30-year bond. The Investors Intelligence data measures newsletter writers. You know, there's an interesting history. Back in the 40s and 50s, the SEC, if you wrote a newsletter, you had to be registered. And the SEC used to actually get newsletters from stock newsletter writers, and they would measure whether or not the newsletter writer was bullish or bearish. And I don't know if they they didn't post anything, obviously, because there wasn't a web, but they assembled that data. Well, a guy, what's his name? He started, Mike, Michael Burke worked for, last name was Cohen, started Investors Intelligence way back in the 60s, and he started charting. The SEC stopped doing it, and so Cohen at Investors Intelligence started measuring newsletter writers. So they've got this database of newsletter bullish and bearish opinion going all the way back to 1963. And so we look at sentiment, and just recently, the newsletter writers, they got happy, really happy. Now, if that bullishness starts to fade, in my opinion, the market will start to turn negative. And if you think of it this way, it's kind of like the old cartoons, you know, the coyote and Roadrunner, where the coyote runs off the cliff and just hangs in the air and then looks down. And then, what, you know, he doesn't fall when he's out in the air, but then when he looks down, he's like, holy crap, there's nothing supporting me. And then he starts to fall. Well, I think that's kind of the way sentiment works. Investors bid up the market. They're happy, happy, happy. Market's up. Investors up. Everybody's on solid footing on the way up. Then when the market starts to fall, the investor sentiment remains bullish. And now you just have the situation where the solid footing is no longer there. The optimism is no longer justified. Traders come to their senses, realize something is wrong, and then, boom, the market decline really gets rolling to the downside. And so that's what's going to be the catalyst that causes it. That's the unpredictable part of it. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, the Fed hikes, something from the election, some kind of flashpoint from, and there are potential flashpoints all over the planet. There's almost too many to name. So I'm positive on the market for the time being, but keeping a very close eye on market sentiment and rates. And that's that those are going to be the two triggers that I'm watching out for.
All right. Well, so that, I mean, that makes sense. And to be bullish makes sense. I mean, if, you know, that's jar because you have a, we still have the Fed backing up everything else. So that never hurts when you have the Fed put underneath the market. So that'll be something. But so now when you're looking and you're searching for trades, what are some of the things you do? How are some of the ways you prep to get ready to trade?
Yeah, the first off, we like to be we buy straddles on individual equities, but we also look to sell index volatility. And traders, this has been going on for years. It's been basically been going on since 1987. Traders overestimate the likelihood of market declines. So not necessarily, well, they do it on equities, but they really do it on the index options. And if you think buying puts on indexes is like the uneducated gambler going to Vegas. And I know you like Vegas. I love Vegas. A friend of mine took me to a Penn and Teller show out in Vegas. And, you know, the two magicians, one of them is real big and he's real demonstrative and talks, and the other one's kind of little and doesn't say much, kind of like Mickey Mouse. And Penn Jillette is the big tall guy. He comes out and gets on stage and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Las Vegas, the city built on bad math." And I love that. I love that because they wouldn't be able to build those palace-like casinos if the casinos lost money in the gambling. They make money, and people in Vegas overestimate their likelihood of winning. Now, they have a good time doing it, but they overestimate the likelihood of winning in the gambling. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing with buying puts. Every now and then, traders win big and they win a jackpot, but more often than not, the house wins. Research. One of my specialties is I take complex stuff. I read a lot of research papers, Bubba. I read a lot of research. And one of my specialties is taking the stuff that I read in a research paper and making a push button easy. That's one of the things we did with the app. Traders overestimate the likelihood of a fall. And as a result, research has shown that traders who buy at the money puts on the S&P 500 lose about 39% per month. Meanwhile, the CBOE has this wonderful index. It's called the Put Right Index. So this is just all you're doing is writing an at the money put every options expiration. You just write an at the money put and put the cash that would be required to buy the index if the market went to zero. You put the cash in an interest bearing account, and so they monitor how that would perform and turn it into an index. So this is nothing but selling a put. A naked put and doing it blindly. Well, it generates bigger profits, it has smaller drawdowns, and earns a profit more frequently than the market itself. So you get bigger rewards, smaller losses, and higher likelihood of gains. And so we like to do credit spreads on this. And we do credit spreads on indexes, and then we buy straddles on individual equities. So like we have right now, we have straddles on Starbucks, Skyworks Solutions, Michael Kors, and let's see, I can't remember all of them that we've got, but we've got about five straddles on indexes, stocks that have gone just pancake flat. One of them that we were looking at earlier today was Lennar. If you look at a chart of Lennar, you'll find it's just like extremely flat. But the thing about Lennar, the options, we also look at the options, and we want to make sure that the options are priced pretty cheaply. So we didn't do anything with Lennar. Even though the stock was flat, the options were still a little bit overpriced. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we do.
All right, you got 20 seconds. Give us the Heart Association info one more time.
Sure. Come to www.donfishback.com. That's DonFishback.com. You'll see something pop up for the Bubba package. Sign up, and you'll get all the bonuses that we talked about earlier, and we'll let you know how to help the Heart Association at the same time.
Don, thanks so much for being a part of the show today. I'm glad that we can help, and hope we can raise a lot of money for the Heart Association. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to do it.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure when you miss an episode, it's libertytalk.fm, and you can download not only the Bubba Show, but the Sporting Edge, and also make sure you check out Don Fishback, because we want to support the Heart Association. In the meantime, that'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.